Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jimmy Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer. We were warned, but it is still a disheartening shock, and I'm talking about the test scores released yesterday that show a precipitous drop. Last year, before the switchover to what's called Common Core standards, half of the third through eighth graders tested passed. This year, after the switch, less than a third. I'm joined now, of course, by Beth Fertig, contributing editor for education at WNYC Radio and schoolbook.org, to explain why. Beth, parents, I welcome you here, and I want parents to know that they can see how their child's school scored there at Schoolbook's test score tracker, and I want you to begin by explaining how the tracker works.
Okay, so we have this great tool at schoolbook.org, which is WNYC's education site, and it allows you, if you're a New York City parent, to type in the name of your school or the PS or MS number. You need to do P period S period or M period S period and the number. And then you could see not only how your school scored this year, but it tracks it over time, over the past 3 or 4 years, I believe. And so you can see how the school did in English and math, and also how it compared to citywide.
So, folks, you can go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and there is a link. Or you can go to schoolbook.org and find the test score tracker and do exactly as Beth says. And we'll review that again at the end of the segment.
Now, and we're still getting the charters on there. So that will happen later today.
Patience, folks, patience.
Right. But we still have the other, 16 or, well, not, we don't have high schools. It's elementary and middle school. So there's at least something like 1,000 schools on there. And, if you're just a little patient with it, type in the name, type in the number. If that's easier, you'll get the data.
Third through eighth graders. Now, Beth, how bad is it?
Well, it depends how you want to spin it, perhaps. Yesterday, the State Education Commissioner John King and Regents Chancellor Merrill Tisch gave what we would call a very somber, almost funereal press conference in Midtown Manhattan, where they really said, look, this is sobering. John King, the education commissioner, said they do not reflect a drop in performance, but rather a raising of standards to reflect college and career readiness in the 21st century, which is what these tests are supposed to measure. They're called Common Core tests. They're linked to Common Core standards that have been adopted by New York and 44 other states and the District of Columbia, with encouragement, I should say, from the Obama administration to raise their game and say, all these tests that we were giving you for years, they were really too easy. We weren't expecting enough from our kids because it wasn't enough to get them ready for college and careers in a very competitive global economy. So these tests are more in line with what you need to do at every grade to lay the groundwork for college and careers, specifically more critical thinking, less bubble tests, more writing, although some would say it's perhaps too hard. And so the state's main message is it's a new baseline.
So specific to New York and the scores themselves, and don't hold back. We can handle it. How'd we do?
Not good. And they were predicting this for months because Kentucky was the first state to do these tests, and they saw their scores drop by 30 percentage points in proficiency. And the same thing happened in New York, but it was still very shocking when you see that instead of 65% of students across the state being proficient in math last year, this year it's 31%.
Wow.
In English, it was something like 55% were proficient last year. This year, it's also 31%. And it was a little lower in New York City. Less than 30% of kids in New York City were proficient in math and reading.
So you were starting to explain Common Core, but that allows me to dig a little deeper on it. What exactly is it, and why, then, is it supposed to be better?
It's supposed to be better, depending who you talk to, but according to those who embrace it, and they've voluntarily embraced it, all these states, with the carrot of federal funding being dangled in front of them, perhaps. New York State got $700 million in Race to the Top grants a few years ago for partly for saying it would raise its standards. And what they really measure are the people behind this would say are the skills you need in every grade to ensure that you're on track, not just to graduate, but to pass your first year of college and not have remedial work. So the questions are harder. There's no doubt about that. The controversy here is that the state started using the tests before picking a curriculum. So you had, for the past few years, the state shifting gradually toward these standards, starting in 2010, when it just made it harder to pass the state tests. It didn't really change the tests, but it made it harder. Then we saw, after years of progress, the percentage of kids passing plunged in 2010 by double digits. They started inching up again. Then the state changed the game completely by making a whole different test based on these standards. But the teachers really didn't have a curriculum yet. They didn't have something telling them in each grade what you teach, what we suggest that kids read, how you should do math. They had materials that the state put on a website called EngageNewYork.org, and they could download those. There were training sessions. New York City says it invested a lot of money, $100 million or so, in thousands of training sessions for teachers, and also made materials available online. But that's not a substitute for a curriculum. And so the curriculum was only chosen in February by New York City, and it's now arriving in the schools. And this is why teachers say, whoa, you just changed the whole game on the tests before we had a chance to adapt. The state, however, says, we wanted to switch to the tests because it made no sense to encourage tougher standards while keeping the old tests. And this way, you really see what we're up against.
But it raises the obvious question. Why would state officials want to test against a curriculum before it's actually being taught?
And that is why they're taking a lot of heat for this. Diane Ravitch in today's Daily News, she's an education historian who's been a sharp critic of the Bloomberg administration and the whole testing movement nationally, even though she was a former U.S. Assistant Education Secretary who originally sort of embraced these higher standards years ago. But she is very critical of them now because what she's saying is these tests are new. We really don't know if they are linked to so-called college and career-ready skills, that we're pushing fourth graders to know the equivalent of maybe eighth grade writing skills, and that she also says it's so arbitrary what you call a passing score, what you say, you know, if last year's kids were passing, now they're not. She says it doesn't mean our kids are doing worse. And that message, in a way, was embraced by the mayor, Mayor Bloomberg, yesterday, who sort of cheerfully proclaimed that, hey, this is not something we're going to get bent out of shape about. This is a new higher bar. And New York City didn't do that much worse than the statewide average compared to a lot of other cities across the state, like Rochester, where 5% of the kids were proficient. In New York City, it was just under 30%. Here's the mayor yesterday.
We're here to discuss the new grades, which when you take a look at them and understand them, I think actually is some very good news, even though people haven't written it that way yet.
So that's the mayor's explanation. Don't get too hung up on this. It's the first year of a new system. We'll all get better at this as our teachers and students get used to the standards and the tests and the curricula, which, like I said, are arriving now. But, you know, the mayor's critics would say, look, if you were boasting that education was your top priority and scores were going up over the years and your high school graduation rates are improving, then your kids shouldn't have flunked when you made the tests harder. And that is one line of criticism that is coming to the mayor, although one could say that this was a statewide issue, not just in New York City.
Now, Mayor Bloomberg, of course, has long been concerned about his legacy in education. I guess this may be another chink in that legacy, or I guess he would say there may be some advantage to a low test score now this year.
Yes, because it shows how much work we have to do. That was a message when yesterday, one of the most shocking things, I think, was that in New York City, 36% of all students are now at level one, which is the lowest of the four levels on the exams. That means in previous years, they wouldn't have advanced to the next grade, more than a third of the students. And that was a little, you know, similar around the state, about 30 to a third of the kids statewide. So when asked about this, Mayor Bloomberg pretty much said, hey, it's arbitrary. And a better explanation was from Shale Polico-Saransky, the chief academic officer, who told me that when you look at this, level one now doesn't necessarily mean you don't move on to the next grade. Some of those kids, they might be doing fine if we give them some help. It's such a broader category now. The demands are more about not just graduating high school, but graduating ready for college. And so if you have 36% of your kids not proficient, that's pretty much the same as the percentage of kids who don't graduate high school on time. Two-thirds of city students graduate high school in 4 years and a third don't. So what he's saying is that's a predictor of how many kids would not graduate on time or be ready for college, and this is the work we need to do ahead. The question, though, is what are you going to do about this? How are you going to deal with a huge number of kids who are way behind? The city says it's going to invest in academic interventions. People are calling for a longer school day. It's going to be something the next mayor is going to have to deal with.
Let's talk about the gap between Asian and white and Black and Latino students. And whether that's gone away and what this current result says about that. Also something Bloomberg had said would be a part of his legacy. Officials seem particularly upset that gains they thought in making in closing that achievement gap may have gone away. What do we say today about that after yesterday's news?
It's pretty apparent that the gap in terms of between Black and Hispanic students and white and Asian students is just as large as it was before. Every group saw a drop in scores of between 20 and 30 percentage points. So now in New York City, 60% of Asian students are proficient compared to, you know, it was more than that, like something like 80% or more last year. In New York City, you now have on third through eighth grade, reading, the percentage of city kids who are proficient is 15% among Black students, the same as it is statewide, 18.6% of Hispanic students, about the same as it is statewide. What's shocking to me is that 50% of white students in New York City are proficient compared to 38% statewide. Why is that happening? And maybe it has something to do with test scores have always been seen as an expression, perhaps, of demographics, that very, very wealthy kids who go to very good schools tend to do better on tests because their families prepare them at an earlier age. They go to pre-K. They get a lot of vocabulary and reading when they're young. And in New York City, the wealthy neighborhoods, which are largely white in Manhattan and parts of Queens, their scores held up. So that could have something to do with why there are so many more white students in New York City who, you know, fared better than across the state because of the wealth in New York City. But, you know, it's going to take a long time to parse this. We also saw really dismal numbers in the percentage of kids who are English language learners who are proficient. Former students who had English language learner needs, you know, who have recently tested out, and especially students with disabilities, less than 10% of students with disabilities were proficient on these tests.
It's really quite fascinating. And what about the tests themselves, Beth? Some of the teachers have even commented that they couldn't figure them out. There were a lot of problems with scoring some of the tests earlier in the year. What about the testing service? Now, I know parents complain about this a lot, but what about the faith that we can have in the administration of the test itself?
Well, all right, there's two issues. You know, first of all, do you trust the testing companies? And there are people who have criticized them because, you know, last year, for example, Pearson had a couple of weird questions on the state exams, one about a talking pineapple that nobody understood, and they had to acknowledge it was, you know, a crazy question, and they took it off. Then there's people who say, look, these tests are ridiculous. We shouldn't spend so much time on test prep. So they opt out, which is something Diane Ravitch has been encouraging. Don't even bother with them. Make your schools deal with, you know, how your kids performed in their classwork. The other question about the tests, what you're asking is, were they too hard? And that's been something we've heard from a lot of people, that the English test in particular was so hard that kids couldn't finish it in time, that they just gave up. Some people even said, my kids got nauseous. They threw up. They didn't understand the vocabulary. They thought it was trick questions. And, you know, people have really said, like, what they expected kids to do in fourth grade when they wrote an essay was more like what they should do in eighth grade. The type of text that they needed to read and the way they had to cite evidence when they wrote an essay was a little too sophisticated, perhaps, for young children. And in math, there were definitely more word problems. It wasn't just, you know, can you do this multiplication or fraction problem? It was, well, which one of these it resembles what you see on the page, you know, written problems, which I got to say, I was stumped, and it took me a few times to read them yesterday. And it Gotham Schools actually has a very good summary of these on its website, gothamschools.org. They've downloaded a lot of the test questions, so you can see for yourself, are you smarter than a fifth grader? You know, it's I think a lot of adults, they're stumped. They've been writing in about this. And so, you know, it definitely reflects what we heard in the spring, which was, you know, sort of a freak out of, and not just in New York City, across the state of, you know, even my smartest kids, my kids who do really well, were not able to finish this test. So that raises questions.
Yeah. And Beth, I don't want to end the segment one more time. Tell us about the test score tracker, where people go and what they do.
Right. Okay. So schoolbook.org, our education page, we have our own data analyst, Coulter Jones, who has made a very elegant looking test score tracker where you can type in either the name of your school or the number. Don't forget to do P period S period or M period S period before the number. You will see your New York City public schools results, not just for this year, but over time, and how it compares to other schools in the city and to schools with similar demographic characteristics. It's a really cool feature. I encourage you to go there, where we also have several articles today about what these test scores mean from a state perspective, from a city perspective, what educators are saying. And follow me at Beth Fertig on Twitter, and I will gladly, you know, keep posting things all day long as we update them.
And as always, Beth Fertig, contributing editor for education at WNYC Radio and schoolbook.org and on Twitter. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
All right. And if you think test scores were bad, wait till you hear about voter turnout. Up next, help with registering to vote. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer.